Hi, welcome to my podcast, Help Me Rhonda. I'm your host, Dr. Rhonda Karg. I'm a clinical psychologist, and each episode of this podcast, I present mental health-related information to you in hopes that you'll gain some insight into your own behavior and also learn some new skills that I teach as part of the podcast. So thanks for tuning in today. Sometimes I find themes in the work that I'm doing with other people, and a prominent theme for me this week has been in different aspects of my life, a lot of death and dying and loss of people. And it's been an intense time for a lot of people. I also have friends who are struggling with pretty serious medical conditions, and they're going through really aggressive chemotherapy right now, and they're trying to keep it together. The one person that I'm thinking about in particular is a single mom, and it's like the community is like coming around to like help support her and her daughter. And, you know, I find a lot of joy in that. I find a lot of purpose in that, and it's really very inspirational to me to see the way that people in the community really pull together here in Asheville in particular. I don't know what it's like in the city you live in, but I feel like in Asheville, people just do a really great job pulling together for people in need, and it's just really inspirational. But, you know, this idea of in our society, we aren't taught to talk about death and dying. We can spend our whole lives trying to avoid dying. We can go to Western doctors whose jobs are to really just keep us alive and not to take into consideration quality of life. So they may give you one round of chemo after another, and hoping that they're going to save your life, and your quality of life in the meantime can be really horrible. So it got me thinking about my aunt. I had a very, very beloved aunt who died a few years ago, and she was struggling with cancer, and then they went in to do a surgery in her abdomen and found that the cancer had metastasized, and in a way, I think it might have been pancreatic cancer. It seems like that's what it was, but it was aggressive and very difficult to beat. So the last time that I saw her, I knew that it was going to be the last time that I got to see her. And before I got there, I had written her a love letter and described to her all the things about her that I loved and the things that I learned from her, and talked about some of the fun memories we had together. It was essentially a draft of an obituary that I turned into a love letter, because I feel like we just don't tell people enough how much they mean to us. So I wanted her to know, and sent her the love letter in advance of me going out and spending a few days with her in the hospital. And that was such a really, really amazing time, honestly, that I got to be there for her during that time. I feel like that's such an honor to be a witness to people who are crossing over. My next door neighbor crossed over last summer, and I was with her. I was holding her hand when it happened, and it was a really beautiful and spiritual experience. And I have that same kind of transformative, really, it's like you're getting all the primary emotions happening at the same time. You have anger, you have fear, you have sadness, you have shame, you have love, you have joy. I mean, there's just so many pieces of it all at the same time. So losing people is an extremely intense time for us, and it's important during these times to put your own pain to the side, because the individuals that are maybe sick in the hospital, like in this case, my aunt was in the hospital. At this point, she was in hospice. They were just trying to keep her comfortable. And, you know, it was interesting watching people come and going and kind of seeing how people deal with death and dying. And I remember being struck by the fact that so many of the people that were coming to visit her were just talking about, they were just making small talk with her. They weren't talking about anything meaningful or significant. And someone told me later that they did that intentionally. Like, they keep things really lighthearted. They don't want the person to get emotional. That's not the time to get emotional. So I would sneak out in the hallway. I'd go up, you know, get some food, step outside, get some air, bawl my eyes out. And then I'd come back and hold her hand. And the last time that I saw her, I knew that it was going to be the last time that I was going to see her. And I grabbed her hands and I put my forehead against hers. And I whispered, "I'll see you when I get there. Make sure you build a big fire so I can find you." And we both just had this, like, really beautiful, I told this story a few times today, so I think I've gotten some of my tears out, but I have been bawling about this all day because I loved my aunt so much, and there was really no way for me to communicate really in words what she meant to me, but I gave it my best shot. And I loved her. She was such an important person in my life. And for the people out there that are listening to this, that are going through their own health struggles or have recently lost someone, and, you know, they're looking at, they're staring in the face of death, either their death or someone else's death, and it's a really scary time for them, you know, reach out to the people that you love and be upfront with them about what it is that you need. You know, I remember being at the hospital with my aunt when she was actively dying and really just not knowing what to do. I wanted to sit with her and just be with her. I didn't feel like I needed to talk. I mean, that was, the, you know, people deal with death and dying in very different ways. And in this society, we're really not taught to talk about it. There's this incredible book that was written a few years ago called Being Mortal, and it's written by an Indian physician. And the first half of the book is kind of, I mean, it's pretty sobering. He talks about the effects of time on the body and just the aging process, and really at a very specific physical, physiological level explains what happens to the body over time. You know, people talk about things aching and people falling and, you know, just, but it seems that we're not really very well prepared for it because it makes people uncomfortable to talk about it because it's really scary. So, you know, having the willingness to ask for what you need if you're the one that's on the receiving end of people coming out and trying to help you out, you know, people may not know what you want. So if you're in the position of being a caretaker or you want to show support to someone who's going through something like this, something very serious, it's always nice to run it by them before you do something. So bringing over a whole bunch of food may not be what the family wants. It may be overwhelming to get, you know, 15 fruit cakes or whatever, you know, bundt cakes or whatever, you know, they may not want that. So please do check in with people and ask them before you do things, because you're not a mind reader, and that's okay. It's okay. The conversation might be awkward. It's all right. It's still important to have that conversation. And have a willingness to talk about death and dying. You know, I have very frank discussions with people about death and dying all the time because suicidal thoughts is a thing, suicidal behavior is a thing, self-harm. So I talk a lot about death and dying and what does that mean for people and what do they fear? And you would be surprised how much people fear getting older. It's pretty terrifying for a lot of people, and I never really knew that until I was in practice full time and met person after person who would, you know, in their 70s start having really intense anxiety. And lo and behold, it was really a fear of just getting older, a fear of not having people to take care of them. You know, it's tough. It is really tough. And unfortunately, in this society, we don't do a great job, I think, preparing people for the process of dying. And this book, Being Mortal, it describes that. And then the second half of the book is where the really beautiful part happens. The second half of the book is about how important it is to find meaning and purpose in your life. They would go into places like nursing homes and they would give them a pet, or they would give them a plant, or they would give them a parakeet to take care of, and that was their job. Okay, what do you think happened to these residents? Research showed time and time again that these residents, if they had something to take care of, it gave them a sense of meaning and purpose, right? They lived longer, they were healthier, they were happier because they had meaning and purpose. That's why I'm going to work until the day I die. I swear to you. I love work. I don't ever want to stop working. I want to work until the very last gasp. You know, but think about, you know, what you're doing in your life right now that will give you a sense of meaning and purpose. If you don't have that, let's say that you're retired. I hear this a lot, people that are retired and they have nothing to do. And if they have a tendency to worry, especially a strong tendency to worry, retirement is not always such a pleasant thing. People are very surprised to find out that, you know, this thing they've been working on for their whole life, or, you know, their whole adult life, isn't really what they bargain for in terms of just being bored and not being stimulated enough. And I think some of us are just hardwired that way, that we get a lot of meaning and purpose out of work and helping other people. And that's my jam, as you know. So that's why I'm doing this podcast tonight, because it's a good way to end my day. I'm not quite as perky as I was this morning. But I would invite you to read that book, Being Mortal. It is a life-changing book. I've probably bought that book for 15 people over the years. It's such a good book. It's so life-changing. And it's a real, honest discussion about death and dying, the process of death and dying, and what it's like in other countries. And, you know, you find out that Western culture is just very ill prepared for death and dying. And so conversations about it can be really awkward and scary. And it's almost like people have shame about their anxiety about getting older too. You know, it's like their reaction of shame and then their anxiety and their guilt about feeling shame, or, you know, whatever. There's a lot of feelings that come up around this. If you don't have someone in your life that has earned your trust, that you can talk to about these things, please seek out the help of someone in your life, whether it's a friend, a family member, or a professional in your life that can hold space for what's going on for you. We can't change what you're going through. We can't change the loss you experienced or the scary situation that you're facing. And your death is right here in your face and you're thinking about it all the time. using a Teflon mind to notice it happening, but not getting attached to it, not reacting to it, just noticing it happening. You know, take a step back, notice it happening. When the time is right, whether you need to sneak into the bathroom at the hospital or you need to sneak into the bathroom at home, you can have a moment. Let yourself cry for 15 minutes. Nobody's going to bother you, hopefully. Let yourself cry, because that is part of a very important part of grieving, okay, is the sadness. And for me, grief is very painful, very intense experience. I get so attached to the people that I love that letting go of them is just agony. So I've been through some losses, and I can say that, you know, I will always love and miss these people. And I'm grateful that I had an opportunity to say the things that I needed to say to them, to let them know how much I love them, the qualities about them that were amazing, the good memories we had, the things I learned from them. Because I want those people in my life to know that their influence on me is going to continue. Their legacy is going to be the things that I learned from them, the ways that I grew, the way that I was supported and loved, and carry that forward and give it to other people. And so thank God for these beautiful, wonderful women in our lives, whether it's my neighbor, my aunt, my mom, you know. Yeah, I'm really blessed. I have a lot of really amazing women in my life, so I'm grateful for that. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope that you heard something that was helpful. So if you're having thoughts about death and dying, reach out to people. I will include in the comments the number for the Lifeline if you were to need it, hotline numbers for individuals that are having thoughts of death and dying and they feel like they're in danger, you know, calling this number, reaching out, mobile services to get you the help that you need. But just because you're having those thoughts, A, doesn't mean that it's going to happen, because you could just be having anxiety about a test that hasn't come back yet or worrying about news that you haven't gotten yet. So try to stay in today. Try to stay present with what's going on in your life. Compartmentalize that grief when you need to be there for other people and it's not about you in that moment. And believe me, when you are around people that are really struggling, they don't want you falling apart. Okay? They don't want to have to manage your anxiety and your sadness and your feelings on top of managing their own. So take care of that. Go to the bathroom. Do it when you get home. Put it in the car. Let yourself bawl unabashedly for 15 minutes before you drive home. Whatever it takes to get you through the night. But just be present with the people who need you. Okay? Thanks so much for tuning in today. I appreciate your support. I hope you heard something today that was helpful. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day.